if you look for, if you Google Blog Talk Radio, Kelly O'Connell, you will find all of my shows. I think I have over 800 shows in there. And it, in the days when I used to broadcast the Canada Free Press weekly show, there's some of those, there's, I don't know how many in there, probably at least 100 more or more shows from that. So anyway, he's now defending this guy and saying basically that Corey Lewandowski hasn't done anything. And he said he had the videotapes, the monitor tapes that would show what was going on there. And so anyway, I don't know what got in the mind. I really don't know what got in the mind of this girl to switch sides, but she's come out and attacked Trump and Corey Lewandowski. She doesn't work at Breitbart anymore. The lead guy at Breitbart quit. And what I think is interesting is you can't tell from this video that she's actually been assaulted, you know? So anyway, I've got a very packed show today. And let us take a little break here so I can kind of reload. Listen to the Al Green this week, Still in Love with You. 616 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. Got the text line in here. We'll be right back. And to cover what we're going to go over, I'll give you a few headlines when we come back. Question of whether Hillary's losing steam a little bit on the weather. I want to play some more Shoebat for you. And that's the guy that was explaining why Muslims, radicals, think the way that they do. And we'll... couple of other so today is Weird Wednesday, and I've got a lot of weird stories for you. That's probably that's a lot of content for you today. So we'll if you're looking for content, we'll be right back. Spending my day. Thinking about you, girl. Thank you. It's 6:21. It's 6:21, and I think I might have found this clip here. I'm just kind of looking all over the place. I always find it interesting when clips are just disappeared when they're controversial. But here we go. Do Trump and Cruz plan to back GOP nominee?
Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. So it's just a voiceover. False alarm. All right. So I heard him say to Anderson Cooper, are you going to... Cooper says, are you going to back the nominee? And he says, not necessarily, you know, and I'm not asking anybody to back me. So it's a not it's not the same thing as saying I'm going to go third party. But it is, you know, it is a statement to the party that, you know, he's not going to play nice anymore. You know, I think it is. An awful thing that the party has done to assume the worst about Trump. And not only to do that, but repeatedly try to kill this guy politically over and over and over again. It seems so desperate. And the most touching part of it, the most hilariously touching and sad part of this is the party acts like it actually stands for something. What exactly is it that the party stands for that that Trump threatens gay marriage, bringing in a whole bunch of illegals, and naturally even more illegals, or naturalizing the 11 or 12 million that are here? I mean, he says, seriously, this party is moderate. So for them to attack Donald Trump for being, you know, too excessive, when he's ultra conservative on some of these points, and then he's not conservative all much on other ones, but overall, you can't possibly say that he's worse than Trump or Hillary or Sanders, especially. So anyway, well, you know, I've mentioned this again and again. 523-1450. But there is a new story that's just breaking right now. And Drudge is reporting it's rigged for Hillary. And the story in the Daily News, New York Daily News, if Bernie Sanders wins the New York Democratic primary, some superdelegates vow to back Hillary Clinton anyway. So, both parties, and I think it is characteristic of the times that we're living in, that it's like the only thing left is loyalty to some crazy and awful cause. You know, and I think Dr. Johnson said the last virtue of a scoundrel is patriotism. These people backing their party, GOP, the GOP brand is so tainted now. It's just crazy. All right. So, let me get into the story for you a little bit. At least half a dozen Democratic superdelegates in New York State who have already decided to support Hillary Clinton said Tuesday they would maintain their allegiance to her regardless of the results of the Empire State's primary. Even if Sanders were to win the April 19th New York presidential contest, which carries 247 delegates, which would almost make him even with her, every single New York superdelegate reached by the Daily News said they would never back the Vermont senator. Absolutely not, said one. So she's got this thing in the bag. It doesn't matter who wins what races. And so, but you probably figured that out already. So why is Bill Clinton repeatedly attacking Barack Obama? There's been, and all of the stuff that he says is true, by the way. There's been no job growth in the last decade since Obama came into office. Someday, hopefully, some brave journalist will tell the whole story, and it will be accepted. It will be accepted by this party. So I guess that's the answer to my story: is Hillary losing steam? Because it really seemed like that Sanders had momentum, didn't it? Seemed like he was really, he just swept those three states. He looks like he could take New York. Maybe all, you know what? Maybe all these states should be winner take all, you know? All right. See what for your next story here. Well, let me take a little break here and then come back and do some weather for you. We've got some interesting weather going on as usual. Global warming, of course, 627 on the button. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in 805-6180 to text. We'll be back to talk weather. Got some weather here for you, but did you know that the 5-second rule or 3-second rule or whatever it is, 10-second rule, when food falls on the ground and you pick it up, brush it off a little bit, is totally false? And they say that there's a lot of germs up and people get exposed to a lot of terrible things. So the next time you drop food, just let the dog get to it. All right, so there are blizzard conditions sweeping across the U.S. Rockies today, and especially it's going to be focused on eastern Wyoming and up to 10 inches in some places. And up in the Sierra Nevadas, we've had up to 2 feet, so that's good for that snowpack. And I played that clip for you yesterday. Over 50 feet, wasn't it? Over 57 feet of snow, or pardon me, in this lake, Fuller, I think it was. Either maybe the lake isn't Fuller. Maybe I'm thinking the lake is Fuller, but it's the second. Maybe it's Folsom. There's a lake in California that has just went up by an incredible amount, and that would be nice to see Elephant Butte do the same thing. But here's a little from the Midwest: flash flooding and severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, etc. from the Weather Channel.
Severe weather and more coming to parts of the South and the Midwest through the next couple of days. Now, this is yesterday. This was severe lightning you're looking at in Boca Raton. And this lightning was so severe, it actually struck 3 firefighters. They're okay, but one of them was knocked off their feet. So more like that could be in store for parts of the South today. We're looking at that severe threat from the Gulf all the way up into the mid-Mississippi Valley. So those storms will start firing up by the afternoon and into the evening. By Thursday, the threat advances to the east. So we're still looking at it along the Gulf. It includes Florida, though, and now pushes up into the Ohio Valley by Thursday. And Friday, this system will end right along the coast. So we're talking a good 3 days with this system. Not only are we looking at severe storms, but check out all this rain that could fall. So in parts of Mississippi, where you see the yellow there, Mississippi, parts of Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, we could get about 3 to 5 inches of rain out of this system.
And here's a little bit on this kind of Arctic vortex that's returning.
All right, so I know it's technically spring, and a lot of people are maybe a little bit disappointed on how chilly it's been to start off spring. Even down here in Atlanta, the nights have been really, really chilly. Well, things are going to change in a couple of ways over the next couple of days. So here's what things have been like. We've had this little dip in the jet stream. It's been keeping the cool air around. Okay, so we're going to recover for a couple of days. But then right after that, by about the 2nd or 3rd of April, it looks like some much colder air is going to come in. So even colder than what we've been dealing with. What does this look like temperature-wise? Highs are only going to be in the 40s. At Boston, you may crack the 50-degree mark. New York, about 60. But you get up a little bit farther toward the north. I mean, Traverse City up in Michigan, highs only at about 32, the freezing mark, on Sunday. And a lot more of those 20s and 30s showing up for highs in the northeast.
And that is, it's kind of interesting that it's kind of fascinating how this vortex works. Although he didn't call it that. I mean, that's basically what it is. And here's one more clip on how this blizzard is moving across the center of America. Well, it's from the west over, but some of the weather is going to come down and touch into New Mexico.
Over a foot of snow yesterday in parts of.
We're there.
All right, so okay, here a little bit of bleed over. Here we go. Blizzard going across the United States from the west.
Winter storm Troy dumped over a foot of snow yesterday in parts of Utah. It looks pretty, but winter is certainly hanging on. Now this storm is pushing into even the northern plains. It is going to be another windy day with blowing and drifting snow. Blizzard warnings are in effect, and you can see it really stretches down I-25 there through Casper and into Douglas. Plenty of winter storm watches and warnings still happening with this system. Now, winds have been a problem with this, and we're going to see that once again. The highest winds are basically going to be from the Dakotas down and through Nebraska today, and even into parts of Kansas. We'll see some strong gusty winds right through the evening. So tonight, this storm pulls away, but here's what we're looking at. For additional snow totals, we could still have over a foot in parts of Wyoming.
All right, so let's we'll take a break here, and we'll get some local weather for you and come back. And I've got queued up for you here. Well, let me play you a little bit of that shoe bat video because I want – it's a video call, Why We Want to Kill You, because and this may have been – you know, this might have been one of those things that Kathy was lashing out at. I think it's the guy who's interviewing this guy, Waleed Shubat, is a minister, so I can't always, you know, I feel no compunction to purify the show of any religious content, but I mean, Kathy, grow up a little bit, huh? 636 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 is your text. We'll be right back, and I got some weather for you right now.
Let me know how you feel.
All right, I did track down this clip. Anderson, the slightly effeminate Anderson Cooper. He's really not effeminate. He's a gay guy, but his mom is Gloria Vanderbilt, by the way. All right, so yeah, he must have worn designer, you know, gym stuff to seventh grade. You know, you go into seventh grade PE or whatever. All right, here is. Here's Anderson Cooper talking to the Donald about whether he will support the candidate, the nominee.
More than 6 months ago, you pledged to support the Republican nominee, whoever that may be. A lot has changed since then. It sounded, when I was pressing Senator Cruz on it, sounded like he was saying he'd have a hard time supporting somebody who went after his wife.
Honestly, he doesn't have to support me. I'm not asking for support. I want the people's support.
Do you continue to pledge whoever the Republican nominee is?
No, I don't anymore. Look,
you don't?
No, we'll see who it is.
You won't promise to support the Republican nominee?
And he was essentially saying the same thing. Let me just add, he doesn't have to support me. I have tremendous support right now from the people. I'm way over 2 million votes more than him.
So the pledge you took is null and void. The idea of supporting whoever the Republican nominee is, you say you will no longer guarantee that you will support the Republican nominee.
I have been treated very unfairly. Look, I won the state of Missouri, right? No, I have. Cruz people. I've been treated very unfairly. I'll give you an example.
Unfairly who?
I think by basically the RNC, the Republican Party, the establishment.
All right. So, whether you like the guy or not, you can't say that he has not been treated unfairly because the party says, please don't run a third party candidacy. We want to win this time. And he promises not to, against maybe his better instincts. And then the party does everything it can, every single thing it can. I've never seen, it's like the Keystone Cops, I've never seen a bigger bunch of klutzes and nerds and just, you know, just clowns that have gone after this guy. And, you know, they might eventually kill him. Who knows? It could be like Rasputin, the famous mystic that Svengali to the czar and his especially his wife. But, you know, they tried to kill Rasputin 10 different ways. I think he eventually died of drowning, but they shot him. They poisoned him. I mean, it's just disgraceful that the party is voting for someone, whether you or I or anybody in the RNC thinks that he's the perfect candidate. He's doing it the right way, and they're trying to kill him, and then they're going to bring in Paul Ryan. It's not going to work. All right, here's a little bit more from a video called Why We Want to Kill You, Waleed Shubat. And we'll just listen to this for a few minutes. Into the mindset of the most violent jihadists. What motivates them? What do they want? Why do they think blowing up babies puts a smile on God's face? Check it out.
We encourage that some of the Muslim leaders who are, quote, moderate, like al-Sisi and King Abdullah in Jordan or of Jordan, that they seemingly are opposed to the methods of ISIS. So is that good news, or is there something sinister behind the scenes that we need to know about?
No, it's good news. It's good news because it goes back to what I was saying, Arab nationalism. These guys, whether the King of Jordan, King Abdullah II, or General al-Sisi, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, these guys come from the old chip of the block of Arab nationalism. Of course, it's not going to be hunky-dory when it comes to Israel and things of that sort. However, they are not planning to have any war with Israel anytime soon. These guys are at bay. They've been at bay for a while, just like Muammar al-Qaddafi when he started his problems. Ronald Reagan, if you recall, sent a sortie and basically tamed Muammar al-Qaddafi. Well, we removed these. We removed Muammar al-Qaddafi when we removed Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. We removed Zain al-Abidin in Tunisia. What do we have? We have a Nahda was born. A Nahda was a Muslim Brotherhood outfit. It's controlled in Tunisia. It's out now, but it's going to try to come back in. You had also the Muslim Brotherhood, which was ousted out by an Arabist, General al-Sisi. This is good stuff. This is not bad news, of course. But the problem is that if you have a Grand Caliphate arise, in the Middle East, coming from Turkey, let's say, then these guys would have to kind of join in, because in the Middle East, it's always who joins the superpower. There's two major superpowers in the Middle East. That is Iran and Turkey. Many superpowers in the region is Syria and Egypt. But the problem is that the West, instead of working with Syria, Bashar al-Assad keeps them, you know, the community at peace in Syria. There is Christians, there is Jews in Syria living in peace. The same thing with Assisi. They live in semi-peace. The Qubs, the Christian Qubs in Egypt, they have a symbiotic relationship, and it's okay and it's workable. But we're not working with Egypt. We have basically alienated Egypt. We alienated Syria, and we magnetized Iran, and we magnetized towards us Turkey. Those are powers that want to consume. Syria and Egypt are powers who are trying to avoid being consumed by ISIS and by the Islamists. So why are we working with entities that are its sole purpose is to consume? Turkey wants to consume Syria. Iran is consuming, as we speak, Yemen. They're consuming in Lebanon. They're consuming in Iraq. In fact, 30,000 fighters are stationed in Iraq. And the U.S. forces are working with the Iranians. This is bad news. This is basically working with this beast system that we're looking at scripture, in which, you know, it is the feet of a bear, mouth of a lion, body of a leopard, you know, feet of a bear. The bear was always been the Medo-Persian. The Medes, of course, are not active because the bear rises on one side. Ah, Daniel was telling us about this Medo-Persian entity coming back in one form, but not the other.
Well, just a little bit there for you. They're getting into some political stuff that's going now on now, the impact of ISIS on these various countries. We tend to see ISIS as monolithically representing radical Islam, but of course it doesn't. But it will work with Al-Qaeda and other groups, the Muslim Brethren, whatever, inspired. I think the Muslim Brethren was the seed group of all of these groups because I think it was Wahhabism. Wahhabi was this great reformer who came in Saudi Arabia and brought people back to the true teachings of the Quran. And unfortunately, that means killing the people that don't agree with you or refuse to be converted. So, and he's getting into biblical prophecy too. This guy is a Christian. He brings in some biblical prophecy, but I don't know of anybody else who puts out stuff like Shubat does. Anyway, take a break here, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about how the terror network is that was at work in Belgium. It was exposed across Europe, and how they it's showing that Europe is an extraordinary danger. 747 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, and 805-6180 to text 805-6180. I'll get your text in before the end of the hour. But don't forget, next hour, I've got weird news for you. And it's weird news that is really going to make your freaking day. And did you know Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, the handsome quarterback that looks strangely enough a little bit like Ellen DeGeneres at the same time being handsome and tall and very athletic and rich, he saw a UFO, and I've got a clip of his statement about that. His voice reminded me a little bit of somebody from Sesame Street, and I'm gonna compare that for you too. We got weird news coming next hour, so don't give up, you weird news lovers, on Weird Wednesday. 6:48, we'll be back. All right, the New York Times has a great article on a very gripping article about converting people to radical jihad. Some of these Muslim, you know, for the most part, Middle Easterners getting brought into ISIS and then immediately getting trained. They didn't wait any time to train these people. Somebody shows up and says, I want to be part of jihad to Europe. They immediately put a, you know, bayonet in their hand, rifles and how to throw a grenade. And, you know, and they're trying to recruit people from all kinds of different, you know, tech people and individuals with engineering backgrounds and all these different things so that they can better run their stuff. Now, they were talking about one guy that helped out with the Paris bombings, having been in ISIS Europe for just a couple of days, you know? So, I mean, maybe if they don't immediately get him situated, maybe there's a tendency to drop out. But, you know, one of these guys in the Brussels cell went ahead with the bombing because he didn't want to end up in jail. I mean, you know, I think that we give these people too much credit in terms of what they believe. There's this kind of strange fascination that the news, the media has, and there's a tendency to blow these people up, even unconsciously or accidentally. These people are willing to give their entire lives for their beliefs. They have the purity of their, you know, convictions. And yes, they might kill people, but they do it for Allah. And I mean, a lot of these people, and they were doing a study on this, people that are going from petty crimes to jihad. And that's apparently not a hard jump for some of them. All right, so there's an article in the Washington Post, a terror attack exposes Belgium's security failings, and Europe's problem is far bigger. So take the problem with Belgium, which has been called for security. It's been called a kaleidoscope of various agencies. And you've got this, I'm looking for the quote here, Dan, here for you. Where they talk about that, but there's a couple of different things. There's a number of agencies. So locally, we have some people in the feds, and we have Las Cruces police officers. We have the sheriff, and, you know, there's FBI. There's an FBI office in town, and then there's Border Patrol agents. All of these groups have to coordinate to keep us safe. Now, that's easier to do when you're in the United States, and it's state by state, and we're under the same federal law. In Belgium, they had all of these groups that were not necessarily sharing information, all these police groups. And you've got an extra problem, which is there are factions of Dutch-speaking people and French-speaking people, and there is a disagreement between them. So one of the things that they said about Belgium was that it wasn't even doing essential policing. So in some aspects, and so, okay, here's a quote from this article. Belgium, which once went 589 days without a government because its political parties couldn't agree on a coalition, has long been slipped between the Dutch-speaking Flemish and the French-speaking Walloons. And only in recent years has its political dysfunction come to be seen as a security problem. And so politicians representing French-speaking Belgians let the situation rot, and their fingers are pointing at all of Belgium because everything was permitted in Molenbeek. And Molenbeek is this ghetto where these bombers were living. So you've got the colonial system, which ends up breeding a lot of problems later. Europe goes into Africa, and it goes into Asia, and it creates colonies, and it brings out the, you know, it develops them, but it also brings out a lot of their natural resources. But then there's this carryover relationship with these colonies. And Belgium and the Congo together. So, you know, it's easier for these colonial people to go to their country that had developed them. And so that there were a lot of workers that were brought in cheap labor in the 60s and 70s, and the countries did not work at integrating them and getting them to come in and accept the ideas and the practices. So because they thought these people were going to go back home, but of course, you know, Europe is so much nicer than so many of these countries. They decided to stay, but they lived in ghettos, and they raised their children to be just like they were, they Muslims. And so as this process develops, it makes it so easy to radicalize these people because jihad is part of what they believe. And all right. So one of the things they point out here, Europe's security problems are particularly pressing within what is known as the Schengen area, a border control having been eliminated, allowing travelers to pass freely among 26 countries. And there is a geographical space that makes it really difficult to police because one minute the plotters are in Belgium and the next they're in Paris. And so what you've got is you have an enormous area of land, you know, Western Europe, with tons of people living in it, and a history and a practice and the law supporting easy access. One of the great things about the EU was if you got into Greece, you could, the next day, illegally, you could fly to Paris or Rome or Switzerland or go to London. And it was this beautiful system that was meant to, encourage the free passing of people and the development of cultures between them and also commerce. And now you've got this as a background, and they don't have an FBI there. They have Interpol, but they're lacking an oversight police agency to keep a view on this. So as they found all of these cells across Europe, now they're extremely alarmed because they don't have the police force. They don't have the coordination. They don't have an ability like we do with our FBI to keep track of things, or CIA, which I guess is, you know, doesn't have the same police powers, but you don't have any ability to coordinate all these problems as these 400, they're bragging about these 400 jihadists operating across Europe. It's only going to get worse, folks. And the fear is, next is USA, that they've already got sleeper cells here. And that's what sleeper cells are. These people wait for years to strike. And when they strike in a coordinated way, it's terrifying. Kelly O'Connell. And 6:59, we'll take a break. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, and 805 6180.
Hey!
All right, I got some headlines for you. Paper Daily News saying the game is rigged for Hillary, and that's what I was telling you talking about yesterday is Bernie Sanders comes in and just cleans Hillary's clock, Hawaii, Washington, Alaska, and she ends up with like as many, it seems like as many delegates, and it's really crazy. So I don't see how you can stop her. I mean, if they go toe to toe, if they were to split everything right now, obviously she's ahead, but I don't think that the way that it's set up, there's no way that Sanders can win. I mean, she would have to be removed for her to be able to, you know, for Sanders to be able to win. Now, I understand that if Sanders wins, it's a total disaster for the Democrats because he's unelectable on a national scale. I totally accept that. But anyway, it's that game is rigged, and now they're trying to rig the one for the GOP, as everybody is aware of. And so anyway, I've got a little analysis on the legal situation that's going into Hillary, what's going on around her email investigation, but there is something like 175 FBI agents that are working on her case right now. And they say that still Loretta Lynch, who is the head of the FBI, or, you know, that she's the head of the Justice Department, that she's doing everything she can to slow down the investigation and any conclusion. In the meantime, James Comey is doing the exact opposite. He's trying to bring it to a head. All right, so here's some more headlines for you from Google News. That the three remaining GOP candidates are backing away from the loyalty pledge. And Donald Trump is threatening legal action over his campaign managers for the supposed assault that he did. I've seen the clip of it. You can't see that anything happened. Now, it's not a close-up, but when they circle it where he supposedly assaults her, she doesn't even turn around. She's right next to Donald Trump, and supposedly, she's assaulted, but why doesn't she react if she's assaulted? And she is right next to Trump, and they say Lewandowski was just trying to keep her away from Trump so he could move around. And, you know, there's this lady that works with Hillary Clinton that supposedly they had an affair, Huba Abedin. And she pushed, a woman came up and tried to talk to Hillary. She gave her a shove, and obviously nothing happened in terms of that. Now, here's another headline. Hard proof that Hillary Clinton has been losing to Bernie Sanders for a month now, which is true. Megyn Kelly unleashes on Donald Trump because he defends his abusive manager. I think his manager, like I say, does have a lot of rough edges and stuff, but that doesn't mean that he has assaulted somebody in this, you know, in this particular instance. The public unions were given a huge victory. Scalia's death handed them a giant victory where in 20 separate states, they can still force the collection of union dues, which sounds terrible to me. Mississippi woman with plans to join ISIS pleads guilty to conspiring to provide material support to terrorist group. She was on the homecoming court of her college. And I mean, she doesn't look at all like a terrorist, but what do you know? All right. A few other headlines for you from the Drudge. University moves to fire professor for defense of man and woman marriage. Isn't that sick? The state of the culture. I mean, I just don't, you know, people have no, I do because I've done the research, but people have no understanding of what the impact of same-sex parenting is on kids. So we claim to be a scientific culture. It seems like before we completely naturalize gay marriage, and gave them the franchise. And so, you know, gay people now can go, you know, adopt. Obviously, they have to, either one of the parties has to give birth or father. The two parties together can't have a child, but go and adopt. We have done no due diligence on the long-term impact of gay parenting on vast numbers of children that will be in the future. And yet we're willing to fire someone for defending man-woman marriage, the only man and male-female interface, the only place that children come from. But you're going to fire somebody. I mean, this culture, if you want to know, and this is right for you, Kathy, take this one right in the kisser. If you want to know about this idea that is sometimes circulated out there that I actually don't even hear people talking about anymore. I think they're too depressed, but this idea of the judgment of God, I don't think the judgment of God is, you know, like, you know, America being hit with a giant flood or anything. I think it is the effect, although it could be, but it's the effect of these public policies that are forced down our throat at the level of the Supreme Court, abortion, gay marriage, and all this stuff. And how it plays out and how it affects people's lives, you can't say that's not, if, you know, the total of Americans are walking away from this old way of life that we used to have, and then we're paying for it, right? And I mean, so you heard Walt, and you don't hear Walt banging on the Bible, but yesterday he said that he considered it, that if you got up in said, I'm going to devote my life to this person, I'm marrying this person, and then cheat on them, that's a sin. And I mean, I as an attorney deal with all the time the outcome of these social experiment that we unleashed on America, where no fault divorce, where there is no social, there's no onus on anybody who goes out and has a kid out of wedlock. There's no onus on the mother. There's no onus on fathers who go around and have a bunch of kids with different women. There is no expectation that these families are going to live together, because they're not really families in the traditional sense, because the mother and father didn't marry, didn't wait to get married to have sex, didn't wait to get married to have kids. So now we're reaping this, and this is probably America's greatest problem. You raise children without a father in a family, and the statistics are a catastrophe against those children. Your kids to fail, and then Kathy is getting upset that anybody's talking about religion and wringing her hands and everything. How dare you? And have you noticed what bullies these atheists are? And I mean, you know, there could be one atheist in a crowd of 10,000 people. That atheist, and if there's somebody who was giving a speech, that atheist would like to force the speaker to not talk about religion because they don't personally like it. I mean, this atheism is the new fascism. But anyway, that is to a large extent, what I can see is this so-called judgment of God is just allowing people to do what they want and then having one catastrophe after another. I mean, you know, it is, it's sad to see it. And it's also disheartening to see people defend it. And then somebody gets up and defends the only source of human beings, babies in human history, man and woman marriage. And now that person's going to get fired for defending that. All right. So a few more headlines here for you. Border Patrol union endorses Trump. Of course, Boeing cutting 4,000 jobs. Paris is cleaning up a migrant camp of 1,000. That's your ISIS recruiting area right there. what they're calling the golden age of masturbation, called the Oculus. I'll have to do a little research on that. Have to read a little bit about that for you. Vets being denied VA care at a higher rate than ever before. And all right, so let's take a little break here. and we'll be right back. And I've got, let me see what I've got next for you here. Well, at some point soon, we're going to get into weird news. We might as well just dive into it here in a moment. Oh, but here's a little more on the 3-second rule as a myth. Many of us are familiar with the 10-second rule, 5-second rule, 3-second rule. But now researchers are saying that up to a third of us risk our health by eating dirty food, as bacteria sticks to food almost instantaneously, meaning many of us could be ingesting household bugs such as E. coli and salmonella. And researchers found 37% of us would eat food that is dropped on the kitchen floor, while 38% said that they would eat food off their living room floor. About the same number. How about your bathroom floor? Researchers found 49% of us only use a broom to clean, and 43% rely solely on air freshener, though neither method is effective at killing bacteria. Think about that. 59% said they wait till they see visible signs of dirt before they clean. 27% admitted they wait for a bad odor to appear before taking action. And a hygienist, Dr. Lisa Ackerley, said the silent killers in our homes can multiply from a single bacterium to several million after 7 hours. Regular small bursts of hygienic cleaning is more important than one big spring cleaning. Bacteria and viruses can't be seen or smelt and are easily destroyed through high temperatures, meaning steam cleaning is perfect. How many people could steam clean their house, by the way? One in 100,000? How many people have a steam cleaner? This 10-second rule, also known as the 5-second or 3-second rule, has little effect on the amount of bacteria that you would pick up from a heavily contaminated surface. Think about this. If you drop food on a floor, it's better to put it in the bin or the garbage than your mouth. No matter if it's home, carpet, kitchen floor, or in the street, don't pick it up and eat it. Have some self-respect. All right, here we go. One of the greatest pop songs in history. Take Me to the River. Kelly O'Connell, 718 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-61802 text. And we'll be back. I do have a little clip on Hillary that does some analysis, as I mentioned, on her emails. We'll be right back on the investigation. Okay, 7:21, about 7:22, and it is around 60 degrees outside. Let me check exactly. I think it was 58 and 48 degrees. Well, not 60, 48. All right, here we go. Here is some analysis on where we're at with the investigation into the emails with Hillary Clinton, and this is from MSNBC Morning Joe.
Well, okay, we'll go to that, which is another major headline this
morning. Well, it actually plays into what we just saw.
The Los Angeles Times reports this morning that the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server is about to enter a new phase. The paper cites two sources familiar with the probe who say that federal prosecutors have begun to step up formal interviews in the coming weeks with longtime Clinton aides. Meanwhile, a lengthy Sunday cover story in the Washington Post describes how the Clinton email scandal took root, writing in part that Clinton aides and senior officials, quote, paid insufficient attention to laws and regulations governing the handling of classified material and the preservation of government records, interviews. They also neglected to repeated warnings about the security of her BlackBerry, while Clinton and her closest aides took obvious security risks in using the basement server. That was the one in her house in Chappaqua, right? Early on, there were concerns about Clinton using a BlackBerry in the so-called Mahogany Row area of the State Department because of previous espionage attempts. According to the Post, in March of 2009, when top State Department official told Clinton, quote, any unclassified BlackBerry is highly vulnerable in any setting to remotely and covertly monitoring conversations, retrieving emails, and exploiting calendars. 9 days later, Clinton told the official that she had read his memo and gets it. According to an email sent by a senior diplomatic security official, but according to the paper, Clinton kept using her private BlackBerry and the basement server. Vice News notes that more than 1,800 emails were withheld or heavily redacted under exemptions to the Freedom of Information Act, including 22 that were not released because they were deemed top secret and would cause, quote, exceptionally grave damage to national security if disclosed.
So, Ron Fournier, that's the line here. You know, Hillary Clinton and her team have been saying all along, we didn't send or receive any classified information. The State Department has said that 1,800 emails, but 22 emails were deemed top secret and would cause, quote, exceptionally grave damage to national security if disclosed. I've been hearing some commentators say this is much ado about nothing and that the FBI is just checking the systems out for their own exercise. They're moving now into a phase where they're granting immunity. They're springing everybody in, interviewing, including one news report says the secretary herself. This seems to be expanding far beyond a procedural investigation.
Well, it has been beyond a procedural investigation practically from the beginning. This has been
can I ask why that hasn't been reported? Because, you ask reporters behind the scenes, they'll tell you they know there are 150 or so FBI investigators on the scene. That never makes it into these stories.
Well, because we let ourselves get tied up in the knots with the spin from both sides. It's true that we don't have a target in this investigation. We don't have a legal target in this investigation. Any implication, any suggestion that Hillary Clinton has been or is a target would be incorrect. But that doesn't mean that this isn't a criminal investigation. The FBI is looking into the possibility that crimes were violated. I think, look, what we have here is what is baked in the cake, Joe, is that we know Hillary Clinton has not been honest about this. And it's shown in the polls that most Americans think they can't trust her. We know that she showed a disregard for Freedom of Information Act, a total disregard for Freedom of Information Act, for the whole idea of legislative oversight, and for the whole idea of the value of a historical record. That's baked in the cake. Now, I think what's going to happen here, if these stories are correct, she's likely to be interviewed. That's going to bring all that back up to the surface. But the big question is, the only thing that really changes the game is if we have any criminal charges.
Well,
I don't know that
exactly.
Going to happen.
And the things that you're talking about,
that may not happen.
Intel officials have been saying to me and have been angry for some time, not so much about FOIA. They've been talking about the reckless disregard for the classified information and that there's so many classified documents that both came and went. And, you know, when they talk about no, it wasn't marked on there, that's just
there's two things.
A distinction without a difference.
Right. So politically, that plays into this whole question that we really can't trust her, that she's been saying things like, well, they weren't marked classified when we all know and voters understand that really doesn't matter. Legally, though, there's a big bar that you have to get over to prosecute anybody for these crimes, much less somebody who's running for president. And as critical as I've been of Hillary Clinton, and I am very critical of Hillary Clinton, I do understand that when somebody's running for president, there is a higher bar you have to get over because we can't have a system in which we're constantly charging people who are running for president.
Actually, the bar is reckless use of classified information. And I will tell you, if an FBI agent took a classified document out and went and just left it in a coffee shop and then went back, you know, their career would be over. I can tell you also that if I had gone to an Intel briefing and they had told me what happened, you know, in whatever program, and then I went back to my office and I sent an email as a congressman out about the information that I learned in that Intel briefing, they would be in my office in 3 hours and would say, Congressman, you need to get an attorney because that's illegal.
And I'll tell you that.
And the scale of this is so remarkable. I don't know how James Comey. I do not know how James Comey doesn't do something definitive. Election year or
that's
not.
Where look, I'm not. You're an attorney. I'm not. Politically, there's severe questions about her judgment that voters really have to look into. Legally, I can't sit here and say that she has definitely violated the law. And I do know there is a higher bar you have to get over before you prosecute somebody who's running for president. That's just a fact.
All right. So do you accept that? I mean, I heard this and I was kind of halfway persuaded that if these, you know, and maybe that's a totally unfair, but you've got a major you know, a person who's set to be the nominee for the party person is simultaneously getting investigated, and you've got to maybe have a higher bar because of the impact on the country. I don't know. I mean, you know what, Joe, and I didn't know Joe had a law degree, to be totally honest, but Joe Scarborough saying that the bars, the standard of the bar is what the law says. So I think it's kind of an interesting back and forth, and we do have a call here. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. What do you, who is it? Pardon me. Who is this?
This is Aaron, Kelly.
Hey, Aaron, what's up, man? And what's on your mind? You got a comment on Hillary?
Yeah, I just think that whole statement about we have a higher standard for somebody because they're running for public office is ludicrous.
Well, you know,
might as well just be a banana republic.
Yeah, but, you know, I agree. But, you know, the president is never going to get arrested for jaywalking, you know. Hold on, folks. I mean, if you call him, please. Aaron, I'm just making a point here, if you'll let me finish it. And the point is that we, generally speaking, don't bother the president, vice president, whatever, with little infractions because it would upset everybody. Probably this guy, you know, he returned a book a day late. He got fined, or he jaywalked. I'm not saying that Obama is special. What I'm saying is that we tend to treat the office that way. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't make sure that she's broken the law. And I know a lot of the listeners that are thinking I'm going soft, and I'm really not. I just want to have a standard that doesn't cause extra turmoil. You know what I'm saying?
Well, from what I've read and been told and understand is that intent isn't even part of the issue.
All right.
When it comes to this kind of information.
It's probably not. And I wrote off Hillary years ago as being a serious person, but I mean, it struck me that we've got to make sure. All right, here's the premise. If she gets the nominee, well, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it would be the best thing that ever happened if she got indicted on the suspicion that she had broken the law. And the phone lines here are really lighting up. So obviously, you know, maybe people think I've finally gone over to the dark side, but this is a kind of a technical area of the law.
Well, I mean, when you look at some of the other people that have been prosecuted for some of the similar infractions that were either a lot fewer of them or to a lesser degree, and they're now been ruined or spent a little time in jail here and there. And there's, you know, three or four or five of them down in the recent history that have gone through all this. The fact that she wouldn't just because she's Clinton, to me, is just a strike against America.
Hold on a second. I never said it had anything to do with her being Clinton. I'm just thinking that it's kind of a special situation. Hold on a second, Aaron. You get too wound up here. It's not her. It's that she's in the middle of a process. I mean, I think the Benghazi investigation was totally bungled, and I'm sure it was because she didn't cooperate. This arose out of that situation. I don't think she should get special treatment, but I'm just wondering if the situation that's going on might call for that. I've got another call. Thanks for the call, Aaron. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, this is Steve. Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Just wanted to give you some feedback that your point is obviously well taken. That's all. But of course, you can't just start going out and arresting leading, you know, candidates for president.
Got to be a little more careful.
There has to be a higher bar. You don't just do that because, and it's just obvious on the face of it. So, yeah, the worst thing in the world would be to have Clinton indicted, and 6 months later, she's cleared.
Yeah, and we got a local situation, Steve, with, you know, Chris Barella, the possibility that prosecution goes away and it seems, you know, whatever. But let me ask you this. America is famously a nation of laws. Shouldn't Hillary be held to the same standard is the argument out there. And Aaron, I am so irritated at Hillary for acting like that, you know, her whole life. It's like no rules apply to me and my husband, but I want to be fair to her. But what about the idea of rule of law nation? go after her even harder just to make your point, just to illustrate the fact that we're still in Asian of laws.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult, but it's a moral dilemma, ethical, but it's, and you're dealing with her and Bill. They're both quite calculating. And that's, you know, this is their modus operandi.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're, and
I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just before I leave and then I'll hang up. What did you think of Peter Goodman's editorial last Sunday?
I was told about it with Walt, and I need to go read it. But from what Walt said, it was well written.
Yeah, Goodman is. I'm not a fan of him, but he did strike a kind of objective tone, and he insinuated that we've got to look a little bit deeper here into what happened due to contributions that the sheriff.
That's fair. When I heard, I'm sorry.
Look at it. I'd like to hear your opinion tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
So.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Great.
Thanks. Kind of off a little early there. You hear that about the sheriff. Somebody in another state is giving him a contribution, but he was in the federal system, and so it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he had worked with someone in his job. Later got transferred to Tennessee or Maine or whatever. I'm not saying that, you know, explains everything, but I'm just saying that on the other hand, he's probably got friends across the United States that he said, you know, would you support my campaign kind of a thing. Kelly O'Connell, we're going to do weird news. I'm starting it earlier because let's face it. What's more important than weird news? 735 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, 805-6180 to text. And Aaron, I do feel you, brother. I do feel monstrous. I feel America has writhed in agony under the hand of the Clintons for so many decades, and now there's a chance to get Hillary out at the pinnacle of her almost power. It would be beautiful, but we've got to think a little more deeply as well. We'll be right back. Weird news coming, folks. Weird news. Weird Wednesday. I think this was on Soul Train or something. All right, so here it is. After much, I'm sure you're just on the edge of your seat here. Aaron Rodgers saw a UFO, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Check this out. UFO sounds.
I saw an unidentified flying, where, unidentified yeah. flying object
yeah.
in the sky in New Jersey in 2005. It was one of those kind of bright nights where it's overcast, but there's enough light from the moon kind of reflecting off the clouds, I'm guessing, where you can see things. And the next thing you know, we saw something in the sky. It was a large orange left to right moving object. It was behind kind of the clouds we were seeing, but it was definitively large in the night sky moving from left to right. It was me and Steve and his brother that saw it. And it goes out of sight, and we look at each other and go, what in the fuck was that?
Snap to Rodgers. Scrambles to his left under pressure, rolling right, escapes. Right side looking. Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown.
All right, that is obviously the end of that was the famous rainbow pass, but listen to his voice here.
I saw an unidentified flying object in the sky in New Jersey in 2005.
All right, compare that to this right here, a classic clip from Ernie on Sesame Street.
Well, here I am in my tubby again, and my tubby's all filled with water and nice fluffy suds. And I've got my soap and washcloth to wash myself.
Compare and contrast.
It was one of those kind of bright nights where it's overcast, but there's enough light from the moon kind of reflecting off the clouds, I'm guessing, where you can see things. And the next thing you know, we saw something in the sky.
And maybe it was Ernie on a spaceship.
Then I've got my nifty scrub brush to help me scrub my back. Then I've got a big fluffy towel to dry myself when I'm done. But there's one other thing that makes tubby time the very best time of the whole day. And do you know what that is? It's a very special friend of mine, my very favorite little pal.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun.
All right, so we'll take a little break here, come back and talk about, I got a story you're just going to love. You're just going to be so delighted you heard this. Florida, I'll just read you the headline. We'll come back and talk about it. Florida man 37 arrested for pushing his husband, who found him, quote, dancing around the house in a G-string while cooking dinner. Wow. Sounds like a perfect wife, doesn't it? Anyway, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 743 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450-805-6180 to text in. Don't want to miss the next story. Weird news round two. Florida man 37 arrested for pushing his husband, who found him dancing around the house in a G-string while cooking dinner. And this is from the Daily Mail. Number one English speaking language newspaper in the world. Highest circulation. Michael Wilson faces a misdemeanor domestic battery charge, as his husband, Edgar Chasen, told officers Wilson was making a mess in their home. Chasen said that he then confronted Wilson about allegedly looking at porn and talking to, quote, other homosexual men in a chat room. Wilson became angry and allegedly pushed him against a wall. Police believed he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And this is in Florida, of course, where all weird news eventually comes from. And wouldn't you be happy, though, if you're a guy and you came home and you found your significant other in a G-string dancing around and cooking? So a 37-year-old Florida man was arrested after his husband found him dancing around the house in a G-string. While cooking dinner, Edgar Jason told officers his husband, Michael Wilson, was making a mess in their Sarasota home and acting erratic. Chasen then decided to confront Wilson about allegedly looking at homosexual porn and talking to other homosexual men in a chat room on his cell phone. And these claims were denied by, and I think they've been married for 7 months. All right. More weird news. Man who chopped off his own ears to look like his parrot has a bizarre new name. And there's a parrot sitting upside down on its back on this guy's head. This guy's part of his face is covered with tattoos of feathers and that type of thing. A man who spent years undergoing plastic surgery trying to look like his parrots has gone a step further and changed his name to Mr. Parrot Man. The crazy Ted Richards, 58, is obsessed by pets Ellie, Tika, Timne, Jake, and Booby, and now has had his face and eyes tattooed with feathers. And the animal nut has 110 tattoos, 50 piercings, and a split tongue. Also had both ears removed by a surgeon, so he looks even more like a parrot. But then he said he wanted to do it a long time. He doesn't have contact with his family. A lot of people who do weird things don't have contact with their family, I've discovered. I've not had any contact with my mother and father for years because we didn't really get on. I don't even know if they're dead or alive. And also, I don't talk to my siblings anymore, so I felt no connection to them as a family. So he decided to go into the family of parrot. And the only bad part of this is that when he tried to use his glasses, they fell off his face. So they had to go in and put little things on his little knobs in the side of his head to hold up his glasses. All right. Take one last break here. It's 7:49 AM Las Cruces, 1450 Kelly, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. If you want to rant and rave about Hillary, and 805-6180 to text, we will be back with the final round of Weird News. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, this is Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Weaver, what's going on?
Not much. Hey, I just wanted to shoot you a little info there. If you want to get a little schooled on classification training, go ahead and Google derivative classification training.
What's it? What is it?
It's what everyone has to take when you handle classified information.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you Google that and take. It's boring as heck.
Do you want to mention this on the you, Mr. Wilson? You want to mention this on the air?
No, I can't really.
Okay.
I'm under NDAs about this whole thing. So.
All right.
But if you watch, just it'll take you about an hour. But you sit down at PowerPoint, and it'll take you through the entire classification process.
Interesting. So scales will be removed from my eyes.
Yeah, and you'll get to see, because every dang slide usually has a section with this, refer to this law, refer to that law. So you can go see all the laws that were broken. So I had a friend who was prosecuted for sharing his password. Now, we all had access to the secret information networks, which is SuperNet, and he shared his password when expired, and he shared it with another friend. You know, basically they shared their passwords back and forth.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting prosecuted for sharing his password. Even though he had access to the information, regardless, it was accessed the wrong way.
So you wouldn't think that Hillary should get special treatment because she's running for office?
No. She should be held to the same standards as anybody who accesses information.
That's fair. I was just thinking about it. You know, if in the future, if they went after people, it would be a way to knock people out of the race, whether there was any, you know, good information in there or not. I'm going back on the air, Mr. Wilson. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Just concluding here on Weird Wednesday. We've covered a lot of ground. I just got a phone call from a mysterious person who told me that if you Google classification, derivative classification or classification training, and you can find it online, he said it would take about an hour to read through the whole thing and just see how many different laws that Hillary broke. And this individual says, prosecutor like anybody else would be prosecuted. And I can't really argue with that. You know, and I guess the argument out there is there's no political calculation. It's the issue is whether she broke the law. So, all right, more weird news. William Shatner's alleged son wants $170 million in a paternity test. All right, so this is a guy. William Shatner had supposedly had an affair with a Canadian actress who's deceased, Kathy McNeil. She had a son. She told her son that your dad is William Shatner. And then, so his name is Peter Sloan, although he goes by Peter Shatner. He's a Canadian radio host. He claims that Shatner met him and admitted he was his dad when he was filming the TV series T.J. Hooker. But ever since then, he's denied that he's the dad. And he had asked for $30 million in compensatory damages, $90 million in punitive damages, and $50 million for pain and suffering. Why does being somebody famous's child mean you got $170 million? All right, here's another just disgusting story. the world's most infected town, and this is from the Daily Mail again, inside the tiny Brazilian death zone where 500 a day are struck down with deadly Zika virus and police fight filthy hoarders who spread the disease. At least 40,000 people in Goiânia, Pernambuco, Brazil are infected with Zika. It was the first municipality in the state to declare emergency situation. Even sewers and rubbish is strewn in streams make it ideal for Zika-carrying mosquitoes. As many as 500 new patients arrive in its overstretched hospitals every day. Local health workers told Mail Online's town, pregnant women are terrified. And it's got pictures of some of these hoarder houses. It's absolutely disgusting. A river in the little streams, a river of plastic bottles, decaying food, and grimy pots. Oh, no, this is in this house. And pans are piled up knee-high throughout the house. It's a single-story hut where an elderly woman has locked herself in. It's almost too filthy to imagine. The cracked walls are teeming with bacteria. She better not drop any food and pick it up and eat it. Walking through the town's poor outlying districts where many of its 78,000 residents live in similar destitution. What is this like? They find somebody who's a hoarder and they just ship him to this town? It's losing its battle against Zika, folks. Outside the woman's house, a loudspeaker truck blasts out orders. Come out of your home, Mrs. Hacienda, peacefully. And anxious neighbors watch from a distance as shutters open and eyes flicker. As the tense standoff unfolds, if she's very aged, I can't imagine it's too tense, but until eventually an old lady emerges from inside and shuffles nervously down her garden path. Shouts and applause respond from grateful neighbors. An intense discussion occurs. She removes the padlock from her front gate, and the soldiers file inside. If she hadn't, they would have forced their way in, as they've done in several houses in her neighborhood. Miss Hacienda's overground garden there is standing. There's standing water in front of her house in her garden, including buckets, bottles, and a swimming pool, which could be harboring a Zika-infected mosquitoes. At least half the town's population, at least 40,000 people, are already believed to have contracted the disease. 27 babies born in the area have developed a shrunken head. So it's the highest rate in the country. Well, holy cow, these pictures are just astounding. I doubt this is going to become the new vacation hotspot of Brazil. And all right, so anyway, I say it's going to be a few years until there's a virus against Zika. So we're in a danger zone, in with the El Paso identified as a danger zone, but it's on a lesser scale than some other cities, I think, including Dallas. So just beware that this year there is a possibility there could be Zika virus carrying mosquitoes around here. So anyway, thanks for tuning into the show. I enjoyed hanging out with you, your phone calls, your texts. Wow, I forgot to read my texts. I have failed. All right, here we go. Hillary will skate free, learn to say President Clinton. Of course, Hillary should be held to the same standards as everybody else. However, this point in our nation's decline, it matters very little. Nothing is ever going to happen to this militant scumbag. All right, I added militant scumbag. Really, Kelly, my views on religion makes me a Marxist. Oh, Kathy, you have a Marxist view of religion, but if you educated yourself a little bit on Marxism, I think that you would find that out. I'm going to develop a little response to this tomorrow, because Kathy, I'm not launching a witch hunt. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of information. And it bothers me how atheists talk down to believers, like atheists are the gold standard. Nobody else can understand them. Everybody else is led around by the nose by religion. That's just false. Have a great day. We'll beat you back in 22 hours. My brother's coming in town, so I'll bring him on the radio. Ciao.
Hey,